This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
All right, check, check. Check, 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 check.
1, 2, 1, 2.
3, 4, 5, 6. Okay,
sorry.
I was about to start rhyming for real, but okay. Uh-huh. I want people to keep watching. So this is episode 10, I think, or 9. I'm going to say 10 because I think that's what I'm going to remember. So this is episode 10. This is Inside the Vibe. I'm Yoru. Today we have Monita Kai. I'm going to throw it over to him. Pause so he can tell us, you know, what we got going on today.
Wild pause, bro.
Tell yourself. Introduce yourself to the people. What's up?
Inside the Vibe. Thanks for having me, man. My name is Monita Kai from Plainfield, New Jersey. Me and Yoru met at Rutgers back in the day.
Yes, sir.
And yeah, I DJ. I host, I MC, I'm an entrepreneur. I still work at Rutgers. You know, I handle all the retail for the athletic department. All right. So I've been at every football game for the past 7 years. But that's not why I'm here. I'm here because I got that vibe. You know what I mean?
So here he goes.
I do a lot for the culture, for the community, for the people. And I love seeing people have a good time and enjoying themselves and just living their best life.
That's dope. That's dope. I think it's important, especially with, it always seems like something is going wrong, or I mean, we're currently in a recession. You can have your pick of disasters going on, but making sure that you, as all of us, just take time to enjoy where we are currently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would say face some of those challenges head on. Mm-hmm. So you said you're an entrepreneur, you work with retail, you're a DJ, mm-hmm. you're a businessman. And, you know, plethora of different, have your hands in a lot of different stuff. Mm-hmm. So one thing I wanted to ask you first is, I feel when you have your hands in a lot of different pots, you can find yourself where some days you just you may not feel it to get up and go after it. How do you kind of differentiate when your body is telling you to maybe take a breather, mm-hmm. rather than you're just facing something, a challenge, that you should kind of, I would say, muscle through? Like, how do you figure out which is which? Because sometimes those signs kind of feel similar, but how, in your experience, have you figured out, okay, maybe I should rest, or no, I'm tired, and that means in this instance, I should use this as an opportunity to blow past this barrier and grow from this instance?
Right, I am involved with so many things, and it's like nothing really has prominence over the other. Everything requires 100% of my energy. And I've been doing performing arts and extracurricular activities since I was a young kid. So I've always had this energy, you know what I mean? So when I do get tired and I feel like I'm stuck mentally, the best thing I can do is one of two things. Just keep going forward, push mm-hmm. through it, or call one of my business partners. Mm. Because when I'm stuck, they're probably not stuck. They're probably in a nice groove. And then when they stuck, they call me with the same thing. They in a nice groove. And it's like, oh, yeah, we can do this. Boom, boom, boom. Split up the work 50-50. Dope. He could do this. I could do that. And we push through it like that. But it's at the point now where I have so much going on, and I need it to keep going on. So it's really no room for a break unless I'm going on vacation. So I like to do, like, vacations and trips maybe, like, 3-4 times a year, maybe. So that's when I really get to kick back, relax, and have the most fun. Because I do parties and whatnot. So I'm pretty much in a fun environment damn near every weekend.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I be working. I might have like 10, 15 minutes of fun here and there. But for the most part, I'm working. So when I have my own personal fun, it's when I go to you know, Caribbean carnivals and music festivals like that. And that's when I could really kick back and relax. But that in between meantime, to get that 9 to 5 from the 5 to 9 so I can pay the bills and all that, it's nothing but foot on the gas, give me my money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you spoke about having that business partner that kind of gives you some clarity, some peace of mind. How long did it take to build that synergy with someone who you realize they can provide you with that kind of calmness to keep going on when you needed it, and then vice versa? Like, how long did that take to build that form of relationship?
Not long at all, because I'm a personable person, and I can read energies very well. So I can just give you two examples. One of my business partners is Lit. We both met at Rutgers.
Yeah, and I remember. He used to be running around there.
And
for sure.
Yeah, that's my day one. Like, we damn near started throwing parties together at the same. We started throwing parties at the same time, and then a month or two in the game, we linked up and was like, "Yo, let's do it."
Yeah.
That was back in 2016.
Yeah, he's come a long way. He's been doing this thing.
Yeah, for sure. So I took a break from the party scene for like a year or two. Then I came back pretty much after the pandemic.
Yeah.
So me and Islit always been tight, right? So then when I came back from the pandemic, I started linking with another Plainfield brother, Ab Gotti. He does Comma Crazy. He started doing the Comma Crazy Fridays. And then that's when I got into DJing specifically. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And because I had the party background, I would always give Ab some tips and advice on how to make this Comma Crazy Fridays experience better.
Yeah.
So our relationship just grew within a matter of months. And then it came to the point where we started growing the party, doing different venues. We did Philly. We did Jersey. We do like 4 or 5 cities in Jersey. Like, we do a lot. And me and Ab just became close 2021. So
Our
relationship pretty new compared to me and Islit, but everybody, it's about that grind, because it's when everything on your shoulders, like you gotta push through it. And if you have a lot of like-minded people around you that's gonna get through it with you, you might as well get them together and go up.
Is constantly having to push through it, like, because I feel like in the creative space, there's that notion of, you know, keep, stay down, hustle, grind, round the clock. And then also you have the dynamic of being a man where you're kind of graded on your performance, your value you bring to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Does that not get tiring to you?
Yeah, I'm tired right now. It's so tiring, bro. Because then also, like I said, I'm a DJ too. So when I'm planning and curating the events I got going on, I kind of don't have any time to practice.
Yeah.
So like, talking about creativity, I could be scrolling on Instagram and TikTok, and then, you know, the TikTok DJs, they do a crazy mashup. I'm like, damn, I would have thought of that if I had time to practice, but I don't have time to practice because I'm too busy promoting and curating. So it's hard to kind of be in a creative space since I'm so busy. But with me, once you get to the event or the venue or whatever the situation is, Once I see people having a good time, get a few drinks in me, some hookah maybe, whatever. But once that energy is up in the air, it's like, yo, I'm gonna catch it, flip it, and then see what I can do with it. So like, when I perform regardless.
So from the creative perspective, DJs in parties nowadays are asked to be graphic designers, promoters. Mm-hmm. Obviously, what comes with being a DJ in terms of reading the room, like what the crowd wants, and reading the pulse of how the crowd is going to respond to what music and finding ways to transition through sets and tracks and kind of making them feel like they're at a party they want to be at.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think having a DJ wear all of those hats is the most efficient way of utilizing a DJ's talents at a party? Because now they have to worry about what's going to happen in the party from even before they actually get into the space.
Yeah.
And like, as a DJ, from your perspective, like, how do you feel about when you're booked for an event, you are almost—it's almost essentially like you're being booked to do 3 jobs.
Yeah. So, I'll speak on it from 2 perspectives, right?
I bet.
As a DJ, I definitely want enough time to prepare for who I'm playing for, so I could tell by which promoter booked me which crowd is going to be there. So it could be a college age crowd. It could be some old heads. I love the old heads. Like, that's my preferred space to turn up in, some old heads, because they like all types of music.
Yeah.
Right. So on a creative tip, when it comes to being booked as a DJ, you don't really need all of the, you might need to have an, some knowledge on graphic design, mm-hmm. just because if you're working with a group, it might not even be a promoter. It might be like a community organization or something like that. Like, yeah. for example, I do Third Thursdays at Delta's. And when they booked me, I'm like, the flyers they had were like real mediocre. I'm like, I don't want to really post this on my page because it'll mess with my aesthetic.
It's boots.
So I'm going to help them. If they're going to book me every month, once a month, all right, we can work together and we can create an aesthetic that's going to work for everybody and build up that Third Thursdays at Delta's, for example.
Yes.
And that's just me being a DJ.
Yeah.
But I still have that party, you know, background, that party producer background that can kind of see the vision and where it's going, right?
Yes.
So that's as a DJ. Now, the other perspective is with my own events, for example, Comma Crazy Fridays.
Yes.
I'm actually actively promoting, actively locking in sections, actively meeting with venue owners and managers and talking with the hostess, the servers, the security, everybody. You know what I mean? So I can get a better understanding of the whole atmosphere. Because if I'm in a DM locking in six sections and they all birthdays, I know what city you from, how old you're turning.
Mm-hmm.
And if I look at your story all week, I know what songs you're going to turn up to if I play them on Friday. So it's like being a promoter and doing that field research 5-6 days leading up to the party, I know what's going to shake the party on Friday. You know what I mean? So it's all about knowing your audience. And as a promoter who does, you know, my own events, it's easier if I have a bigger picture of the whole thing. So another question is that you asked is pretty much being a DJ, do you have to be the whole package? And it's all about what you want to get out of it, because depending on what market you're in,
mm-hmm.
they might have a $300 budget for DJs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might have a $600, $700 budget for DJs. And are you worth that budget? You know what I mean? Not a lot of DJs, not in a lot of areas, have that $600, $700 DJ budget. So how do you maximize on being a DJ, whether it's a side hustle or your main hustle? So the best way to maximize on that is to do your own events. So you can keep the door, you can get a cut of the bar, you know, you can do this, that, and third. So now instead of being booked as a guest DJ for $300, you're doing your own party. Now you're making $1,000, $1,500 every week. Am I still labeled a DJ? Yes. Am I still labeled a promoter? Yeah, but I'm a vibe. It's like all, if you're the whole package, you a vibe. And where we at? We inside the vibe. You know what I mean? So if you want to be a DJ, I'm serious, bro. You got to be if you want to be the best you can, you kind of have to be the whole package. But like I said, it depends what area you're in. Like
yeah.
Jersey, you got to work hard. Because Jersey, for example, has 8 million citizens in New Jersey?
Something like that.
Right. So put this in perspective.
Actually, I don't know. I could have just lied.
We might be capping. But listen, Brooklyn has the same amount of Brooklyn, New York, Queens, all that. They got the same amount of people that we have in Essex and Union County spread out.
Yeah.
But they're all in like freaking 20 block radius. So you don't got to promote that hard if you're in New York. Same with LA. Same with Atlanta. That's a party atmosphere. But Jersey, everybody's spread out. So you have to do more work. So the pay is different. The scaling is different.
So it sounds like depending on your role in the event depends on like your level of investment. So for you say like for like the Comma Crazy events,
mm-hmm.
You're almost like you're doing like field research on the people who have booked the sections. Like, okay, she booked the section, it's her birthday. I'm seeing she's been posting that same Glorilla song the entire week. And maybe she's posting a Meg song or Nicki song. So I know like for her to enjoy her party and her to go crazy, these are the three songs I may need to hit.
Yep.
So when you have that level of investment, like that varies for different events, like what does a healthy approach to working in now, I mean, DJing, promoting,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and all the other stuff you do, when you're investing in varying levels, like to those positions, what does a healthy work week look like for you?
A healthy work week. So I also have my 9-to-5 job at Rutgers. So
yeah, that pays the 5-to-9.
And right now it's football season. So
it's
the busiest time.
Yeah.
It's the money making time. So how I like to balance it is pretty much from 9-to-5 hours, I'm at work doing what I have to do as far as inventory and contacting staff, sending emails, you know, all the regular corporate stuff. And also getting ready for that weekend's game, right? So that's during the day. But in between all of that, I'm still sending emails out for promotions, for graphic design. I'm still doing all of that pretty much in between. And it takes about, what, a minute to download a new song. So if my laptop is open and I'm listening to a song, I could just go to a certain application, download it, add it to my library, keep it pushing like that. So, yeah. And then after I get off work, I'm home, then it's more sending out DMs like, hey, what you got going on this weekend? Just, you know, like I said, doing that field research. So healthy, to me, healthy is what's going to make me the most money at the end of the week. That's okay. Me. So it's like, you know, if I can send out 30 DMs a day, send out a couple emails, that translates to a sold out party come Friday. That translates to me being able to fund my lifestyle, pay the bills, go on trips, have some stuff in the savings. You know what I mean? So the harder I work, the healthier my lifestyle going to be later. But right now, it's hot right now, so you got to capitalize.
So you're willing, I mean, based on what you're saying, you're willing to kind of sacrifice maybe your mental and maybe physical health for what may be later on.
Yes.
And how long do you think, because I ascribe to that same mindset, but I'm just saying, like, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah.
For those people who would say that it's not worth it, what would you say to them?
They're not doing the right things. It's not like, for somebody to tell me it's not worth it, like, how many people do you know that are millionaires? If you don't make over $100,000 a year, how are you telling me it's not worth it? I'm in a position where I got to make at least $100,000, at least $200,000 a year just to be able to support who I have to support. So for you to tell me, oh, you got to work on your mental, you got to sleep. Is Jeff Bezos sleeping? He a billionaire. You know what I'm saying? Mark Zuckerberg probably stayed up Harvard all night making Facebook. Billionaire. You got to put in the work now. No kids, no big responsibility. We got nothing but energy. Put in that work. If you're only a DJ making $300 a gig 2 days out the weekend, that's $600. That's a lot of money. That's great. But if you can capitalize on that, I know some DJs that make, they have literally 5 gigs a day. They might make $250, $300 per gig, but 5 times 3, that's $1,500 a day.
Yeah.
They don't really get to sleep, but they have a good time doing it. They like having fun, and it pays their bills. It funds their lifestyle. So for somebody to tell me, extending all my energy is not worth it. I can respect that you're, you know, giving me your insight, but you have to see it from my point of view where I need to do this. There's no other option.
And your value system just may be different than theirs.
Exactly. That's 100%, bro.
Do you think, like, in terms of, like, your approach to work where it's like, I'm going to put in and sacrifice what I need to now so I can live the life I want to later. Mm-hmm. Is there a part of your process, like whether it be promoting, working at in retail, or even DJing an event, like a part of the process that you used to find tedious, but now you take pride in, like you kind of understand why this is like integral to what I'm doing and how I can produce a product for the people who I'm, you know, showcasing my talents for?
Yeah, spending money. Okay. You got to spend some money. That's part of the field research. For example, put it like this. I went to Trinidad Carnival for the first time in February. That's an expensive ass trip, bro.
Yeah.
I'm talking like, if you're not trying to spend or have a credit card limit that's up to like 6-7K, you can't go.
You dressed up?
No, but I will next year. My outfit is bought. I got the last male outfit for the biggest.
Wow. You going to Trinidad again?
What?
I went to Antigua.
You went to Antigua Carnival?
Yeah, it was fire.
Are we going to talk?
No, I went to Antigua.
Yeah. Are you Antigua? No, you have
to. I'm Nigerian.
You Antiquan by association.
I guess now.
Yeah, nah, we outside.
But it's the islands are beautiful, but.
Bruh, that's what I'm saying. So look, spending money, because before growing up, I ain't have shit. Yeah. It's been a couple Christmases and birthdays with nothing.
Yeah.
With nothing, bro. So I've always been frugal. But when I started, you know, creating my own business and my own, you know, just work ethic and started getting a little paper, it's like you kind of got to spend money to make money. So when I go to Trinidad Carnival and I'm in the atmosphere and then me and Islit link up, because I go to everything Caribbean with Islit because Islit's Trinidadian. So I'm Trinidadian by association because that's my brother, you know. So, but we bring that vibe back to Jersey. Last night we did a party, reggae and soca. It was a midnight brunch, 800 people in there.
Chilling.
Everybody had a blast. I'm talking from 10 o'clock to 3. It was a movie, and then we can capitalize off of that. So that $6,000 trip that we did, now we can do 12 parties, make it back, and then some. Because we know that vibe. And these are people that live in New Jersey. They don't have to go to New York. They don't have to go to Toronto. They don't have to go to Trinidad all the time just to get those bare vibes. You know what I mean? We can bring it to them.
Yeah.
So because we're doing the field research and we're spending the money, you know, support, even when it comes down to supporting other promoters, supporting other people. Like, let's say a party goer comes to our events a lot. They're doing something. They're doing a pick and sip. They're doing a clothing drop. Go buy their clothes.
Yeah.
Because then they're going to come to your club and get a whole section for their birthday.
It's community building.
It's community building, bro. So it's support. Like, so it's the 9 to 5, and then it's the 5 to 9, and it's still supporting the people who support you. So that's why I said, you know, you kind of got to lose sleep. You kind of got to spend a little bit of money just so it can come back. So that, from not being able to spend any money to spending as much money as my budget allows to support people so they can come back and support me, I think that's the best part of being like a community member and a cultural figure.
And you worked, I mean, based on what you're saying, you've kind of worked yourself mentally in a place where you feel that spending that money is worth the experience you'll get, because now you can come back to New Jersey, to New York, to the Tri-State area, to the East Coast, and give these people a taste of Trinidad, because you've had your feet to the ground. You experienced what Carnival looks like there. And some people may never go.
Some people,
but now they know you're aligned with someone who's from Trinidad. You've experienced Trinidad Carnival. So when you come and you say, hey, I'm doing a reggae and soca party, it's not someone who's never experienced it. You've been over there, so you know what the expectations are. So when you have that adopted that mindset, right, do you find it hard to work with people who haven't?
Yeah, I do. Because one thing about Jersey, it's very, like, people don't go out much. So if I'm trying to explain to you something that you wouldn't even fathom, just because you don't even have a passport, it's like, the picture is way bigger than one state in one country.
Yeah,
it's 50 states in the United States. It's like over 200 countries in the world. And you want me to get caught up in cultural, like, local promoter politics? I don't have time for that. You know what I mean? So when people aren't on the same wavelength as me, I kind of don't entertain anything. But, like, if you're on a team and I can educate you, I don't have no problem educating somebody. Like, yo, listen, trust me when I say, if you go here, here, or here, this song, for example, is like, this song makes somebody do a backflip. But it's not the same right here. But if we do the right things to really introduce this to this market and bring it over here, it's like, yo, we can really build it up to be something special. Mm.
So you said, I feel like you said it a little while ago, but you said heading into COVID, or maybe coming out of COVID, you took a little break. Was COVID the reason for that break, or why did you take a break from, like, entertainment in the spaces that you operate in? Like,
oh, well, funny story why I took a break from doing parties, because I was going to Rutgers, and this was at the time where, remember, we didn't have any student center parties for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Dark days.
The dark days, right? So we finally had another student center party. So my behind was so excited. I got so drunk, like, this is why I don't really drink Hennessy anymore.
Freaky bull.
Anyways, long story short, it was a student center party. I got drunk, bought a gallon of Henny from the liquor store. It was like $70. I was the only person pre-gaming.
Oh, so you made the $70 Henny a personal.
It was damn near the fifth. But so it was a personal. And long story short, get to the party. I remember getting in there and having a great time for like 30 minutes. I wake up in the hospital, my mom there, because it was alcohol poisoning. I said, oh. So then my dad called me. He said, yeah, nah, I'm coming to your school. So then he came, we had lunch. He was like, you know what you gotta do, right? So I had to take a break from parties from, like, that was like 2018, probably, that happened. So I got too drunk one time at a party, acted a fool, showed my ass. And then I said, nah, I gotta focus on finishing school. So that's what happened. And then COVID came 2 years at sometime after that.
Yeah.
You know, and then I got on furlough from my job. And then what happened was furlough happened, and then the unemployment money started to come in. Then I invested it into my DJ stuff.
Was that before or after you applied for the PPP loan?
I didn't do the PPP.
Oh,
okay. I didn't. I should have, but I didn't.
I should have too.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay. Last thing I have for you, for people who may or may not know who Monita Kai is, how would you explain in 30 seconds who Monita Kai is and what you stand for?
30 seconds? Okay. Ready? And I'm a 26-year-old young brother from Plainfield, New Jersey, who grew up in performing arts, theater, musicals, hip-hop, dance, marching band, and a whole plethora of things. My grandfather, my family been in the city of Plainfield since 1930s. You see what I'm saying? So I love culture. I love community. And I'm here now bringing the culture to people, whether it be R&B, whether it be hip hop, whether it be roller skating, whether it be soca music, because I love the world. They ask me where I'm from. I'll say Plainfield, but I'll be like, comma, but I'm worldwide because I love everything. I love anime too. So like, I'm weird like that. You know what I'm saying? You're like, you know, we share the same anime account. My boy,
right here. Yeah,
we do. Right? He's yeah, forgot. But yeah, and then I like to DJ. I like to see people have a good time, and I like to create moments for people. Like that's pretty much what I do. So if you see me, smile at me, wave. I might not remember your name, but I'm always gonna remember your face if I'm not drunk. But listen, I'm friendly. Come say hi. I'm not a weirdo.
Okay. Well, that's Monita Kai, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate you for coming through the Inside the Vibe. And
thank you so much for having me, Inside the Vibe. Your roof fits. You got to style me one time. You know, I'm trying to get on some swaggy shit, you know. But nah, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Nah, love. That's it. That's a wrap.
Bet, my boy.